Coming to you live from the All Ireland Space Program's All Ireland Space Station, it's this week's Apocalypse. I am your co-host, Kevin Lenihan. With me, as always, is John Ferris, and I feel like this has all happened before. John, how are you doing today?
Just give me a minute. I'm going to have to duct tape this panel back into position.
That's very wise. That's very wise of you, John. Well done.
Yeah, cool. This place is falling apart.
This place is, I believe the term is floating shit heap, I think is the term they used before they sent us up here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so everything's very confusing. I keep getting these weird flashes, John. These strange sort of remembrances, I guess you might say. Like memories of someone else keep popping into my head. It's very strange.
Okay.
I feel like there's been some kind of...
Are you getting the space bands?
I don't think so. Were we in a waiting room to speak to Satan?
That just sounds like a crazy fever dream. That sounds like you're getting the space madness.
Did we figure out his plan and then he sent us back in time?
Oh wait, actually that might have happened.
Huh. Because I feel like this has all happened before. Except this time, I feel like I died last time and became a ghost, but I guess I must have survived this time. However, there are, of course, other risks here. This is baffling, but I think we should just charge on. So here we are on the All-Ireland Space Station, provided by the All-Ireland Space Program, made out of Campbell soup cans, of course.
Yep.
The hardiest of substances. Now, they've asked us to do some experiments. Now, I don't know why they didn't send, like, biologists or some kind of, like, scientist.
I have a theory. They're expensive.
Yeah, see, they've got all these, like, mason jars here, which, to start out with, is not a good, that's not a good storage mechanism.
No.
For what they told us were extraterrestrial... bacterium and viruses.
Yep.
Now, the lids are loose on all of them. And so, I mean, they're basically wobbling around. They're not sealed, so I'm pretty sure they've been leaking the entire time we've been here. And this is a zero-G environment, so they're fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
Now, I'm starting to feel, I'd say, I haven't developed a cough yet. There's all these signs about wear your mask. No, we didn't do that. because we were like, it's just me and you. It's just me and you, and we're basically sealed in a big tin can floating around in space. What could possibly go wrong? Well, now my eyes are watering, and my skin is, I believe the term, the medical, I looked this up in a book. It's called undulation. So my skin is wobbling around, and yeah. It's pretty bad. Are you feeling okay?
You look
all right.
No.
No?
No.
No?
Just general.
No. I mean, your eyes are filled with blood, but apart from that, I mean, that could be anything, though.
Yeah,
that doesn't mean you're sick.
Yeah, my eyes are bleeding, but my mouth is smiling.
Indeed. Your eyes are bleeding, John, and I can see that your mouth is smiling.
Yeah.
So you're probably all right. I'm not feeling great.
Or it's at least in a rictus of pain.
maybe you're just holding back the horror from inside. But they've sent us up a little sort of DVD and Blu-ray collection here of films. Now I'm a little worried about the genre that they've chosen. I think maybe they thought this would be like a good learning tool for us.
Yeah.
For this mission where we're working on diseases, that samples that they've gathered from other planets and asteroids. So we have here, let's see now, we have from 2012, we have Prometheus, directed by Ridley Scott. I assume that's about a Greek legend or something.
Yeah, that's a bit strange to send us, but okay.
Stole fire from the gods, but I don't know. Then we have The Last Days on Mars, directed by Rory Robinson. Ooh. From 2013, the year after that one. Ooh, yeah, I know. I looked at the blurb in the back of the box, and it seems like it didn't go well for these astronauts, but I don't know. I feel like they should have sent us some more encouraging stuff, maybe. But anyway, finally we have, from 2006, we have the movie Slither. directed by James Gunn.
Nice.
I don't know. Is that about? It's probably about snakes or something. I mean, slither.
I mean, your skin undulating is starting to,
yeah,
almost mimic slithering.
It is. Maybe that's. Maybe they knew.
I mean, all these DVDs seem to be in an emergency pack of sorts.
Yeah. Well, I just broke that immediately. I just saw movies and thought, brilliant. We're gonna watch these. And a little alarm. That's why that little alarm in the background's been going off for the past like 3 hours, Chuck. I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want to alarm you. But anyway, I'd say just at least to distract ourselves, because I don't know how to analyze a virus, so I don't really have any. We don't really have anything to do here, so I say we just sit down and watch the three of these movies.
Yeah.
All right, well, the world is getting dim.
Yes, the world is getting dim.
The world's getting dimmer. Oh, John, I didn't mean it like that.
Oh,
that's what I like about you, John. Even in the face of adversity, you've still got your whip-crack wit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So let's use that whip-crack wit to its best of its abilities. And you can tell me all about what you thought of Ridley Scott's Prometheus from 2012.
It's very, very long.
Oh my god, it's so fucking long.
And I mean, feels longer.
Ridley Scott is a guy who can't make a short film, I think.
No.
Or a regular sized film. I mean, if you're talking like cinema, popcorn flick, bog standard, action-y movie kind of fun film, you're usually looking about 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Ridley Scott is a man who I don't know if he's ever made a film that's been less than like 2 hours. I don't know.
He puts me in mind of someone who like gets into a lot of fights with the producers and executives and stuff over, you know, no, this is my artistic vision.
Yeah. No, we can't take out that scene.
Yeah, it's very important.
And you said, Ridley, you said that about every scene. It's all, there's no chaff in this movie. Now, he did cut things out of Alien.
Yeah.
But
probably begrudgingly, and probably like, you know, that was early enough in his career that he probably didn't have the weight to like go, I'm fucking Ridley Scott. How dare you speak to me, mortal?
Yeah, and Blade Runner, the original cut of Blade Runner got cut to ribbons, but again, that was against his will.
Yes.
So that makes sense.
I imagine editing is against his will.
Yeah, any editing at all, just use all the footage. I want every take of this one scene in the movie. Seems like something that Ridley Scott might eventually do.
And like, it works out well sometimes. Like, I mean, he's made some of my, you know, favorite movies. Like, I love Blade Runner. I love Alien. You know, he's very, very talented. He's very good at what he does. But for me, this movie's a miss.
Yeah.
This movie, like, it feels like it's weird to see a director aping his own work.
It's almost like it's someone imitating Ridley Scott.
Yeah. And I mean, not to mention, you know, after this movie was Alien Covenant.
Yeah.
And I don't know which one I dislike more, but I really do not like these movies. You know, it almost seems like a mistake that they made this into an Alien prequel. And I was reading stuff. I actually kind of, I didn't have time. I wanted to kind of dig in deeper, but I read a little about kind of the beginnings of this movie, and it seemed like they weren't sure if it was going to be an Alien prequel, and then they were like, oh no, it's definitely an Alien prequel, and then they would go, no, we're going to do a separate thing. Like, it kept like turning and throwing, and I think this indecision kind of bleeds into the movie, because
it does. I feel like you're right. I think it comes through in the final product. Yeah.
And like, there's scenes, especially towards the end, where it's like, this is kind of like Alien, but enough of a difference that
that if we decide to go to another studio, they won't be able to see us.
Yeah. It's just like, fucking pick a lane. Come on.
Yeah.
But I mean, I get that a lot of people like this because there's a lot of like philosophical messages in this, or like it touches on a lot of things, but I don't think it touches on it enough. Or it just feels very, very messy in that regard. Like, it doesn't do anything, any particular thing, or not that it doesn't do it well. It's I've seen it done better in things like Star Trek. So in like a half hour, 20 minute, how long are episodes?
They're like 45 minutes
or 45. Oh yeah, they're 45. Yeah. But yeah, they're still, they're very a lot shorter than this movie. But
oh hell yeah, you know, they're like a third, if even less than a third of the length of this film.
Yeah, you know. But like Star Trek Next Generation in particular, for me anyway, it has dealt with these things. Like, you know, this movie touches on like, you know, AI stuff. And I mean, again, it's stuff that Ridley Scott's done better in other movies.
Yeah.
Blade Runner is a better delve into this, like, you know, are androids kind of people? Yeah, what's a soul? Yeah. You know, and all this. Like, you've got that already with Blade Runner and an Alien, you know. You've got so much more character development than this.
Oh my god, so much more.
Actually, this is what I was actually thinking of this. Bar David, the android in this, can you name one other character in this crew?
I was hoping you wouldn't ask me that.
Bearing in mind, we watched this very recently.
I have been calling everyone by their actor, the actor's name. Except for David.
Yeah.
And like Mr. Whalen, but he doesn't count as part of the crew. you know what? No, I thought I remembered Idris Elba's character's name for a second there, and then I realized I didn't.
Yeah.
Because he was the only other, he was one of the few characters in it where I was like, he seems all right.
Yeah.
You know? And then everyone else, I was kind of like, they're all dicks. Yeah. And like I recognized people, but I don't. Their characters' names just fell out. I can name everybody from Alien. I can.
I know you. But, I mean, okay, you know, that's a movie that, you know, it's almost unfair to make that comparison in a way because we both love Alien. We've both probably watched it like a lot over the years.
Yeah.
But
I've seen Alien so many times, but I don't even know how many. I wouldn't even be able to ballpark it.
Yeah, but the fact is, like, I mean, you remember Ripley's name from the first watch at the very least. You know, I can't even remember the lead character's name in this.
And the thing is, David, Michael Fassbender, says it a whole bunch of times, but it was not like... I mean, it's not like we watched this ages ago. We just watched it, really.
Yep.
So this film, for me, this film has... It touches on ideas without fleshing them out. And, yeah, again, the whole, like, meditation on what is a soul and at what point does something... Is it a sort of a measure of intelligence? At some point when something becomes a certain amount of intelligent, do you then declare it to be in possession of a soul, or what does that mean? And like, they're kind of wishy-washy with the way they define it.
Oh yeah. Big time.
Yeah, like Mr. Whalen never really describes what he means by the fact that David would also have a soul.
And plus, there's this whole thing of like, oh, David doesn't feel emotions, blah blah blah. It's like, then why does he look like so arch at times? And it's like, and like really pleased with himself. And like, there's all these like scenes, and it's not like for the most part, Michael Fassbender is pretty good in this. Like, he's kind of awesome.
The star of this film,
yeah.
Like Noomi Rapace, or is it Noomi Rapace? Is her name?
I do not know.
I've never heard anyone say her second name, so I don't know, and I feel bad.
It's like a Rumpelstiltskin kind of thing.
Yeah, but her character is supposed to be the protagonist, I think.
Yeah,
mostly we mostly follow her around, but for me, Fassbender steals the show.
Yeah,
because that's the thing. This film actually has a bunch of fine actors in it.
Actors. It is ram-packed full of all, like, really good.
Full of cream of the goddamn crop.
Yeah.
But they don't, again, they don't have a lot to work with. The script is not great in this movie. The dialogue is pretty consistently bad.
Yep.
Now, I will say this about this film, and it's something I've said before, is that I think this film is potentially one of the best looking films I have ever seen. And Alien Covenant, I think, shares that sort of title for me.
Yeah.
both of those films look flawless in a way.
It actually reminds me a bit of, sorry to interrupt you, but the way we talked about Legend, another Ridley Scott movie that was lacking in story. And
so well shot. Yeah, it's like, so well shot.
Aesthetically, these movies all look great and they're well shot, but there's just no substance really underneath it, or they're not enough, sorry.
Yeah, like, there's something about like the vistas in this movie, and the way the camera moves is so smooth when it does move.
Yeah.
And it's all just so, it's every sort of static shot is so well thought out and gorgeous, but they haven't got a good enough story to hang it on.
No.
And it's inconsistent in what the story is about, and it feels really sort of like, now, and again, the cinema edit was way fucking worse, because I watched this on, obviously, the Blu-ray one that I have, and it is the full cut of the movie, because there's some real, if you watch the cinema cut, it's way, way, way worse.
Yeah.
It makes so much less sense. The stuff that they cut out of the cinema version, some of it feels really clutch to the end of the film.
Oh, God.
And I remember being baffled when I came out of the cinema, asking questions, especially about Idris Elba's character does, and his sort of immediate crew do something pretty hardcore towards the end of this movie. And if you watch the cinema cut of this movie, you'll be left scratching your head as to why the fuck they would do it.
Yeah.
But in the regular cut of the movie, there's a couple, they have a few scenes of him talking about stuff.
Yeah.
And like in the original cut of the movie, he's got like three or four lines, but in this he has full scenes. So that's all right, but it's just everything else is sort of half dealt with. And then if you we're not talking about Alien Covenant, but when you get to Alien Covenant, it feels like they're leaving a bunch of stuff that they're going to deal with later.
Yeah.
But let me tell you now, they fucking don't. They cast it all to the wayside and do something else. And you're like left sitting going, but what about all the stuff that they sort of promised they were going to sort out at the end of Prometheus? Oh, it was really aggravating. So I will say, I think this film is gorgeous. I think it is beautiful. I think on a sort of technical sort of cinematography level, this film is almost like a really great education piece, maybe, for someone who wants to do something like that, to sit down and watch it and go, this is how you construct a shot.
Yeah.
Oh my. But you could say that about a lot of Ridley Scott movies.
And it's like how to properly use CG. Like, this is what it's capable of in 2012.
Yeah.
And it still to this day looks incredible. Like, saying, those feasts and all, they look breathtaking, and it's an amazing looking movie.
Yeah.
But as we keep circling back on, like, even the premise for their journey is so weak.
It's so wishy-washy. Yeah,
it's like, oh, a load it's of cave paintings so have this like particular wee, you know, like they always draw this. The stars are always drawn like this. It's like, let's go to space. Let's spend billions to go to space. Yeah. It's like, right.
Yeah, based on pretty much nothing. Yeah. And then this guy is just committing his, anyway. Yeah, so ultimately I think I still kind of enjoy watching this film because I like looking at it.
Yeah.
I really, really like looking at it. So I wasn't too begrudging going into it.
It wears on me though. Like,
it's so long.
It does. Like, you're right. Like, you have those, every like kind of establishing shot, or every kind of exterior shot, I go, it's almost like a breath of fresh air, that you go, oh, that looks amazing, and then it's like, oh, it's back to the quote unquote characters, because
the ones that
it does follow are usually fairly cliched, and there's no real depth to them, bar a handful of them. As you mentioned, Idris Elba is pretty good, and like he gets a bit of development in the non-cinema cut. But like, I don't know. I can't help.
Charlize Theron does a fair bit of work with her body language and her attitude and stuff that helps with her character. But
yeah,
She doesn't have very much to do except be a dick.
Be a dick and be just like, the, oh, it's like this question mark, oh, is she an android or not kind of thing that yeah. they had addressed for a hot second.
yeah.
But, you know, even that, just, you're kind of wondering, did they need this character? Like, she mm-hmm. kind of seems superfluous, like a lot of them do. And I don't know. I can't help but liken it to Alien, where they put the work in, like, to really establish these characters and really get, you get to know them at the start and you care about them. Like, I was watching this with my wife and she even said at one point when things are going wrong for these characters, she turned to me and went, I don't care what happens to these people. It's like, yeah. yeah. It's like, and that yeah. might sound like the musings of a serial killer, but but it's, they don't put the work in for it.
Yeah, and also, like, the sort of the nature of the biological infection in this movie,
yeah, it's all over the place,
is so vague.
Yeah,
and it just sort of does whatever,
yeah,
based on whatever idea they had for something to happen to somebody, where you're just like, wait, so what it did it make worms, and then did it then, but also made man be a monster, and it also made woman be pregnant
yeah.
with monster, and then what the fuck is going on? This guy's just dying,
yep.
but this guy, other guy, turned into, I'm a zombie, basically, you know, he's like, oh my god, lads, come on,
yeah,
just be a bit more well-defined
again,
in anything you're again, doing.
Pick a lane. Pick
yeah,
a lane
exactly.
and stick with it.
Exactly. Pick a lane. What does this disease do? Shrugs.
Yeah.
What do you want it to do? It feels like that's
it can
what
do anything say. Because it's the primordial life giver. I don't
or
know.
Something. I don't know. Yeah. It's all really vague. So I'd say, I think for anyone interested in sort of cinematography and stuff like that, this is a film that is worth looking at.
Yeah.
But I don't.
Before we leave it, I want to ask you, what did you think of the engineer design?
It looks like a big baby man. he looks like that, you know, that silhouette that you would get of Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah,
this the couple of the minimalist couple of lines. It looks like that, but stretched out and tall, with a baby face. That's what I think of the engineer.
Yeah. I think it looks yeah. terrible. It looks like that yeah. Thing that from the Popeye cartoon.
Oh, the goons?
Yeah, the goons.
It looks like a goon from Popeye. It does, doesn't it?
Yep.
Oh my god, that is exactly what it looks like.
So we all
it looks like Alice the goon from
live,
Olive and Alice.
Live action goons.
Yeah, live action goons. So yeah, watch Prometheus if you want to see fantastic cinematography and live action goons. All right, well, my eyes are bleeding too, and my mouth is smiling as well. I'm going to call it a grim rictus,
yeah,
John. That's
yeah.
what I'm going to call it. I think you were right. I think it's the suffering within.
It doesn't feel natural.
it doesn't feel
like
right.
I'm smiling, but
no, I feel like it's changing me inside, kind of like Jeff Goldblum in The Fly remake.
Grunaberg.
I am becoming one with whatever it is. This sort of space chicken pox.
Space
or whatever
chicken.
It is. I don't know. I'm not a virologist. I don't know how these things work. You know, that's why we're watching these films, really. I feel like, you know, I need to get my information. So, John, what did I learn? Or rather, what did you think first, I guess, of Last Days of on Mars? Sorry, allow me to say that again. The Last Days on Mars from 2013, directed by Ruri Robinson.
What could anyone learn from Last Days on Mars?
You could learn that every movie set on Mars is piss. Ever? Okay, let's just think about, well, all the movies that are set on Mars. I mean, we've watched, well, Ghosts of Mars and Doom. We're both
set on
Mars.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Doom.
Doom's on Mars as well. There's a really bad film called Red Planet that is set on Mars that is shite. There is Mission to Mars,
That's terrible.
Is that one with Gary Sinise in it? And
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's terrible. The Martian. I really didn't like The Martian for a lot of the same reasons I did not like Prometheus, actually.
I was so shocked that The Martian got, like...
It's another Ridley Scott. Like, this looks really good, but it's way too long and isn't worth being this long.
Yeah. I don't even think I finished it, actually. I got bored of it.
Yeah. No, I watched the whole thing. I sat through that whole film.
God love you.
And it wasn't great. It was not great. But John, what did you think of this other movie set on the planet Mars?
It started off well enough. Like, I was kind of fairly intrigued, and you know, I don't think this was like a massive budget for this movie, because it seems to be like mainly Irish made.
Yeah, as soon as you see board scan on her, and you're like, okay, this is probably going to be made pretty cheaply, but it's going to look all right.
Yeah,
but it's definitely going to be cheap. Like, their budgets are generally quite low.
And I kind of liked that. You know, I mean, you could tell it was just like some like random desert or something. Like,
yeah,
but
it was really obviously a desert on Earth.
Yeah, but I kind of liked it. Like, everyone seemed kind of fed up, and because this is like, this whole thing's taking place on Mars. They're on like it must be some sort of kind of research expedition, and they're there for like 6 months at a time.
They are the second set of people to be doing it. I think they say that
and it's
like
coming towards the end of it,
Mars.
So they're like looking forward to, oh, we're getting home. But
some of them are looking forward to leaving, and some of them are very angry that they're leaving, and one guy is shit scared that they're leaving.
Yeah. And like, tensions seem high. Everyone's kind of fed up with each other, as you would expect.
I think they do a pretty good job. They do a better job of establishing all of their characters than Prometheus did.
Yeah, which isn't difficult. But
no.
But then it kind of, once things happen, and it takes a while, you know, it just kind of loses it, and it just becomes very tropey. It's like it becomes like a zombie thing. Like, once this infection thing starts spreading around, it turns them into zombies that seemingly can't be stopped by any means, you know. And it just becomes kind of boring. And all the action, I think the worst part for me was any action scenes are choppy. It's like shaky camera. That's way too close and just overly edited, and you can't work out what's going on.
Yeah, there's a lot of those points where you're like, I don't know what's happening right now.
Yeah.
And I'm looking, for one moment you're looking at one wall, and then the camera has swept over to the floor and up to the other wall and the roof, and people are being thrown around. You're like, I don't know who's being thrown around by who and what's happening here.
Yeah,
And it's a little bit headache inducing.
Yeah,
I would say, because of the how it's shaky cam and super close to the action, which is a problem.
It just doesn't work. Like, I mean, this would have been, I don't know, this is a long time after Bourne Identity, which kind of started that whole thing, and it kind of works for that movie.
Yeah, it was the pioneer, and I like how the Bourne Identity handled those, because it was novel, and it was carefully constructed in the Bourne Identity to make it seem super high action.
Yeah, you get what it's doing. It's like, you're there with the characters where, like, you don't know how this is panning out. Like, it's meant to be confusing, and then everyone started using it, and it just becomes annoying, because it's just... I don't see what's going on here.
Yeah, even to the point where in the sequels to The Bourne Identity, they dialed way back on it because everyone had really been doing it too much. And they were like, we don't want to be the guys who are known, like Paul Greengrass is like, we don't want to be the guy who's known for just doing this.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to do that. And that was a good idea. I don't know how people generally feel about those films, but... I love that trilogy, that the Matt Damon part of that thing, the three parts. I never saw Jason Bourne.
No, I didn't see that either.
I didn't see much point. As far as I was concerned, it finished and I was done with the Bourne in it. The Bourne Ultimatum was in the third one. Yeah. Anyway, let's stop talking about that. Let's stop trying to talk about a film that
I think
we like.
I think it's always very telling when we're talking about a movie and we get completely sidetracked by other movies, because...
Yeah.
There's not really that much to say about Last Days of Mars. No. It's just one of those kind of middling movies that had a lot of potential, I think. I like this idea, even that you could make a fairly effective horror movie because your main characters are at a disadvantage to these zombie creatures. You need your suit to survive in Mars. You're in a very vulnerable state as it is.
Yeah.
But it kind of seems to ruin it. It doesn't seem to really take advantage of the situation that it has.
Yeah, they're surrounded, essentially. Essentially, it's a situation in which they are surrounded by poison.
Yeah.
In a way, if you want to break it down to a base sort of premise of, if they take their suits off, they die. If they run out of air in their suits, they die. They can't go inside because the monsters are in there or have wrecked the inside to the point where there's holes in the wall and the inside is now poisoned too.
Yeah.
They're reliant on the power that they have, solar power, and it's nighttime and yada, yada, yada. There's lots of little things that could be a real advantage in a horror story.
Yeah.
They don't take advantage of them that much.
In that way, it's like The Descent in the sense that your setting is already horrific enough that the monsters are just icing.
They're the icing on the cake. Yeah. In The Descent, yeah. And it's very, very good icing. And this, the icing turned out to be salty, and someone used salt instead of sugar. And
they fucked up the icing, and now the cake is ruined.
Yeah. I will say that I actually kind of... This is one of those random films that I saw years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a trailer for it, and the trailer was I saw the trailer and I saw Elias Koteas and Liv Schreiber.
At this point, I think Elias Koteas needs to get a restraining order on you or something.
I saw Elias Koteas and Liv Schreiber, and I was like, oh fuck, I'll watch that.
Yeah.
I'll watch that. That might be all right. And you know what? I'm going to say that I kind of enjoy this film. There's some stuff I like about it. I like some of the cinematography's really good.
Yeah, definitely.
There's some great shots of... there's one in particular I really liked towards the end where there's this sort of dust storm that's dissipating. And you see the figures of the our monsters or whatever who are walking in sort of a single file, kind of spread out line.
Space towards zombies.
Yeah, our space zombies, yes. Our space zombies.
Or our ghosts of Mars, maybe?
They're not ghosts. Stop it. Stop.
All right, sorry. Were the ghosts of Mars in Ghosts of Mars ghosts?
I don't know, John. I still don't know. I talked about that film for 45 minutes to an hour, and I still don't know. But anyway, our Martian zombies, let's call them that, Martian zombies are walking in a line. They're walking towards a ship, and it does this sort of panoramic sweeping shot. And I thought it looked gorgeous. There's a couple of times in the exterior shots when they're not doing the action-y stuff that look really, really fucking nice. And I like the performances of the principal cast enough.
I thought the performances varied quite a lot. The blonde girl whose name escapes me now, I thought she was kind of bad in this.
Yeah.
But Liev Schreiber is pretty good. He's doing his Liev Schreiber thing. I liked Elias Koteas. I thought Olivia Williams as the abrasive Kim, thought was very good.
She was perfect in that role. She was such a dick, and immediately,
Everyone hates her. It's brilliant. Yeah. And, I thought she was great, and I kind of liked that. A lot of the times, the characters who are being cowardly or being dicks are kind of right. There's a guy kind of at one point who is taking the cards way out almost, but he's kind of trying to convince another character to come with him and blah blah blah, and he's completely in the right. Very often you get the opposite in these movies where it's going, oh well, now he's going to get his comeuppance, and that still happens,
he gets comeuppance, but not deserved comeuppance, really. The only person who's annoyed at him is Olivia Cook's character, or Olivia Williams' character, sorry, who is a dick and is annoyed at everybody all the time anyway.
Yeah.
Like, no one else minds the fact that he's going out for one last look at his samples before they go. She's just getting all pissy about it. Like, that's the reason you think, oh, he's going to get his comeuppance because she doesn't like it. She's going to hell. You know? But I kind of do still like this film. It's not a great film.
Yeah. I think it has more potential than it's one of those ones that frustrates me when I watch it because the potential and it seems wasted for the most part.
Yeah, and this is another one of those cases where, much like the Grave Dancers, which we watched a couple of months ago now when we were doing dangerous readings materials. The Grave Dancers had like a 100% or something ridiculous on Rotten Tomatoes, and it was an absolute trash fire of a movie.
Yeah.
Now, whenever we're doing these films, I don't like to look at reviews beforehand. I don't.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'll look it up after the fact. And when I looked at the reviews for this film, I was genuinely shocked. I was shocked.
Yeah.
At how bad the reviews were for this movie. Like, outrageously so. Where I was reading it going, I feel like these people were expecting something huge with this for some reason.
Yeah.
And we're all horribly disappointed. I mean, and again, Rotten Tomato scores, irrelevant, as they discussed with the Grave Dancers. It got 100%. It was a garbage fire. But this film's rocking like an 18% on Rotten Tomatoes, which to me seems hugely out of proportion with the quality of the film. Because I still enjoyed this film.
I mean, it definitely has good moments, and it has good... Yeah. Like, I do, overall, you know, I think it is... I think the pacing's terrible in it, and it's you know...
overall, I thought you were going to say something nice there.
Pacing's terrible. Like, I don't really like this movie, to be fair, but I don't think it's that bad. Like, as I said earlier, I think it's like a middling movie. You know, there are worse... Ghosts of Mars is a terrible trash fire.
Ghosts of Mars has a higher score than this.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of what I mean. Like, that's more of an 18%. Was it 18%?
18% for this.
Yeah.
For
that's more an 18% than this. This, to me, is like... I hate putting numerical scores on things, but it's like a 5 out of 10. Some people might enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah. It's middling, possibly divisive on somebody like me might say, oh, it was pretty good. It was about zombies in space. You know, the end, really? Oh, is it about Astro Zombies? Cool, like that song? Awesome. I'll watch this film and I will enjoy at least some of it. And I did.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a bad movie. I don't think it's not going to fucking rock your world or anything.
Yeah, I'd be on the same token, like, I'd be really shocked if someone said, oh, my favorite movie is The Last Days of Mars. I'd be like, really?
Yeah.
Have you seen surprising. Any other movies?
Have you seen Ghosts on Mars? Yeah, that's the only other movie I've seen. Oh, right, okay. Well, then, fair enough. Yeah, so I think this film is all right.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're entitled to your own opinion.
Thank you very much for the privilege, John.
Thank you very much for being a patronizing twat.
Yeah, basically. You know, that's how I'm going to sum this film up. Thanks, John, for being a patronizing twat. Okay, well, John, I've been having a look at these jars, and they're all labeled. One of them just says clap. So...
Okay.
Oh. That's a good joke. Yeah. That's a good joke. That's it's an oldie but a goodie. But, you know, it's just it's very worrying. Like, did they find chlamydia on an asteroid? That begs the further question, how did it get there? And the further question, have I got it now?
Yeah.
Is that what this is? I'm under my fingernails?
I'm pretty sure this explains why they didn't get proper scientists as well.
I guess
they think a proper scientist would look at this and go, you fucking mental.
They'd say, mason jars, lads, and they're not even properly sealed. They're just free-floating in the cabin. What? And I say to that, stuff you, scientist, and your safety protocols. But, you know, I'm starting to feel a little itchy all over in the everywhere place. And things are moving that don't usually move. So, things that you might say there, slithering?
Ooh.
Ooh, that's a great segue. It was not a great segue. I was really forced. But John, I'm going to jump on it anyway and ride it like a horsey off into the sunset and say, John, what did you think of James Gunn's Slither from 2006?
Before I even mention what I think about it, I'm going to just throw a wild assumption that you love this movie.
I fucking love this movie to bits, John.
I actually really enjoy this movie as well. Yeah. But the reason I feel like I make that assumption is this movie seems almost tailor-made to people who love like sci-fi horror in particular. And there's so many references to other movies that we both love.
There's so many. Some of them are really subtle and some of them hit you in the face like a fucking hammer.
At one point the Predator music comes on.
I know you're going to mention that. You're like, is that the music from Predator? And then it only just isn't.
Yeah.
It goes, there's a point where the note goes up instead of down, but the rest of it's the same.
But you're it's Predator. That. And it's all like intentional. It's all because James Gunn loves these movies, like and you know, because this is a comedy horror. You know, a lot of it gets away with a lot because it's not meant to be taken that seriously
or seriously at all. Maybe,
although I still think it does a good job. Like,
it's kind of frightening at times. It is genuinely like a scary film.
Yeah, and kind of heartfelt at times as well. Like, there's a bit where a young girl's family gets taken by the creatures in this, or get infected, and she gets away from them, but she almost got infected, and she kind of gives a bit of backstory on these creatures.
Yeah. She's our exposition.
Yeah, and like it is just an exposition dump, but she does it so well, and it's like kind of haunting. Their performance is like, it's almost like separate from this movie because it gets very dark and very serious. And like,
she's like, she has this like, I've seen too much.
Yeah,
and I don't want to talk about this, but I have to tell you about this kind of thing.
And like James Gunn, I don't know. We briefly talked about him before on this podcast, and like he's good at like kind of finding fine lines like that and walking them and doing it very well. Like I do think he's a very talented director in that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at Guardians of the Galaxy. I honestly think a different director could have. There's maybe a handful of directors that could have pulled it off, and James Gunn is one of them.
Yeah,
you know. It's a very difficult line to,
it's a
very difficult tightrope to walk.
Yeah, to be like serious and goofy and fun, and a little bit scary all at the same time is very hard. Like Sam Raimi has done that, in the past. Like Evil Dead 2 is probably the best example ever of this film's actually still a horror film, but I'm laughing. And it's not because it's bad. I'm laughing because it's funny.
Yeah.
But it's also still scary and gory. And it's just a joy to watch because of all these elements working together. Slither, to me, it hits that note perfectly.
Yeah.
With just being like, because it is funny and it's really well made. Yeah, is the thing. Definitely. It's excellent. That's the thing I'll say about James Gunn is an incredible filmmaker with a dark, dark sense of humor and a real sense of fun. All of his films are fun in some way, even like his more serious. Like he has a film called Super that is brutal at times and heart-wrenching and heartbreaking at times, but it's also fucking hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
All the way through. I mean, there's a point where in Super, I was laughing really hard as someone's face was being caved in with a fucking wrench, you know?
Yeah, and it makes you sound like a serial killer,
like my wife that I mentioned earlier. Yeah. Well, I'm.
I don't care what happens to these people.
Yeah, let them die. So James Gunn is a talent, and he's very unique. A unique talent.
Yeah,
I'm always on the lookout for what James Gunn is doing next. Ever since I saw this film in particular, this is the film that put me onto him. Now, before he did this film, he worked for Troma, which is a production company from, I guess, the 1980s primarily. They made a lot of stuff. They were known for being ridiculous, like low-budget, ridiculous sort of B-movie kind of stuff that was just completely at home being gory and nasty and stupid and self-aware.
Yeah.
Like, all of their stuff is so goofy. So he started out there, and it really shows in his later work, because it's got that same Troma feel.
Yeah, definitely.
But with, like, extremely high production values, but it's still Troma. I mean, Troma... I don't know if anybody's ever, if anyone else is going to remember this but us, but like there was a cartoon called The Toxic Crusaders.
Yes.
Back in the early 90s, and it was based on a Troma film. It was that, like, let's make cartoons of things that aren't for kids. Like the RoboCop cartoon, which is just the most insane thing.
Yeah,
I mean,
like RoboCop.
The Toxic Avenger was a movie, and I think, I don't know if James Gunn worked on it. There's a clip of it in this film. Someone's watching it on TV in this movie. It's a guy with a mop, and he's like dumps the mop in the swimming pool and stuff. Anyway, it's fucking ridiculous,
yeah.
And it's gory and nasty and minging, and it's fucking hilarious. But like, he started out there, and he took those sensibilities with him when he moved into like,
yeah,
actual mainstream cinema, I guess. So he's made this. His brother made it, a film called Brightburn,
yeah,
which is basically about what if Superman was actually evil. You know, because he's an alien, and it's about him as a kid discovering his powers and becoming,
yeah,
this monster, essentially, which I thought was fucking wonderful.
Yeah,
James Gunn just... I feel like James Gunn, yeah, makes films for me. It's the thing. I feel like James Gunn makes...
Yeah, it actually
James
does
Gunn
feel like that
makes
sometimes.
Films for Kevin Lanahan a lot. I love, like, the Guardians of the Galaxy films, I think, are probably my favorite Marvel property.
I would have said the same, only I love Taika Waititi,
yeah,
and his Thor movie, the Ragnarok.
Yeah.
I fucking love that.
Beautiful.
Because Taika Waititi all over.
Yeah, it was so,
a lot of people don't, but I'm not a Marvel
style.
Fan. So.
It's yeah, nice when they give something to a director and they let them do it their way.
Yeah.
Which you feel is like what happened with Thor Ragnarok with Taika Waititi, or with the Guardians of the Galaxy and James Gunn.
I think it also helps as well if you don't really have a horse in that race,
yeah,
so to speak. You know, we don't really care about the Marvel movies as such. Like,
yeah,
we'll watch them.
Yeah.
But, you know, I kind of enjoy them for what they are, and I usually prefer the ones that kind of are a bit more of a piss take and a bit... Like, if I go see a movie about superheroes, just make it fun.
Yeah.
You know, make it kind of a bit daft and I'll probably enjoy it more. Gunn is very good at making things a bit daft.
Yeah, he's very talented, and he has a gift because he writes most of his movies as well. Like, I mean, he's got writing,
yeah,
credits on all of those Guardians of the Galaxy movies, and you can tell.
Yeah.
He's a great ear for soundtracks as well. All the soundtracks of his films are great. This film has a couple of great fucking tunes on it as well. But just this film to me is just one of those, like, it's one of those films that doesn't come along very often where it just like really sticks with me.
Yeah.
Like, I will go back and watch this film semi-regularly. I was delighted to watch it after like all the other films we watched. We watched Prometheus, which went on forever and has no joy in it at all.
Yeah.
We watched Last Days.
Oh, God, no.
We watched Last Days of Mars, which is a bit miserable and dark and dreary. And then,
yeah,
and then I watched Slither, and I had a huge, huge fucking grin on my face from literally the moment it starts until the end. I sat until the end of the credits. I was sitting there,
yeah,
with a big goofy smile on my face. It's absolutely wonderful. So we should probably just start talking about how great the film is now.
I mean, like, even cast-wise, you know, Nathan Fillion,
yeah,
is so brilliant at just being...
He's Bill Pardy.
This...
Again, I remember,
yeah,
all the characters' names in this film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
I remember Grant.
Is
Starla Grant. That is... It's a stupid joke. And it works. It doesn't...
Yeah.
It works in the context of the movie. played by a James Gunn favorite, Michael Rooker,
of course, who's fucking brilliant.
He's a fantastic actor. I mean, if you go back and look at, like, he often plays big, angry, like, assholes. But yeah. Like, you know, you go back and look at his career, and he's made a living out of that. But for me, he'll always be Henry, like Henry the Portrait of a Serial Killer.
Yes,
that, I remember him from that so much. But then I see him in other things. I'm like, all right, that's the guy from, like, he's the most memorable character for me in, like, Mallrats. You know, yeah. And I haven't seen Mallrats in a very long time, but I remember Michael Rooker in Mallrats. You know, he was in the Walking Dead TV show for a while. I really lost interest in that shit, but he was great in it.
He was,
and he's, of course, Yondu in Guardians of the Galaxy, which that Mary Poppins thing just brings me so much joy. In the second Guardians of the Galaxy movie, when he says that, he's great, but he is so good. And in this, he's fucking brilliant. And my God, like, and the amount of makeup that man has to endure throughout the course of this movie is insane.
It kind of, like, you mentioned Evil Dead earlier, and this movie shares a lot of similarities with Evil Dead, but it makes me think of those, you know, you hear so much of Evil Dead with Sam Raimi kind of trying to torture his mate, Bruce Campbell, and this almost feels like that, because James Gunn and Michael Rooker... Yeah. Pretty close at this point, you know, that they always seem to work together, and it almost seems like him kind of going, what else can I put on Michael Rooker to annoy the fuck out of him? It probably isn't, but it just in my head.
What problems can we make for him today? How many pounds of makeup can we have him sit there under and have him still act? And apparently the answer was a lot.
Yeah,
it's fucking horrific.
I really love Greg Henry, who plays the Mayor Jack MacReady.
That's brilliant.
Which, of course, is one of many Thing references.
Indeed,
in this.
Indeed, MacReady, yeah.
He is so... He's kind of known for playing assholes anyway. But in this, I think he's hilarious. He's just brilliant.
So
and
good.
Every scene with him is a joy, because he's such a dick. Like, from the very first scene you see him, he's like... behind a truck or something that's taken a while to get off, and he starts like screaming at them and going, "Get the fuck out of the way, asshole!" And there's like a mother and child just staring at him and going, "Oh, hey, like, don't forget to vote."
They're like, "Hi, Mayor," and he's like, "Oh, hey." And he's like, "Easy come, easy go," and he's just leaning on the horn and screaming again immediately. He's so fucking funny. That guy's great. He's a guy who shows up in a lot of things. He's shown up in a number of James Gunn things, actually, as well, since this.
Yeah.
A lot of people in this film have shown up in other James Gunn projects later on down the line. Like, Nathan Fillion he's like this Christian superhero in Super that appears to him in a dream. And he's in a bunch of stuff. Anyway, this film is just so fucking funny all the time. Mm-hmm. And it just, it's nasty. It's just, it's a little bit nasty all the time as well. It's gory.
Yeah.
And it's just like...
And I mean, apart from a few CGI effects, which Gunn himself doesn't like, but it's one of those ones, 2006, it's one of those ones that demanded a bit more... power, maybe, than CG had back then. You know, you're talking like, there's this like a river of slugs, essentially, at one point that just falls over everyone. And apart from a few wee moments like that, the effects are pretty good. A lot of it's practical, which helps. But I don't think I don't think it takes you out of it enough. I think they're fine for what it is. No, the bad CGI doesn't, it's not that bad.
No, it's grand. Like, it does what it needs to do, and it's not overused. They do enough practical stuff throughout the movie. Like, there's one point where Michael Rooker's character, if you can call it a character at that point, is standing there. The squid thing has just, like, killed a cow or whatever, and he's being confronted by the sheriffs. And it's a fully practical effect. It's him standing there. Just breathing through his teeth, and it's disgusting, and it looks fucking great. This film is a goddamn masterpiece, in my opinion. I just love it so much. Maybe I like it too much, I don't know, but I really thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy it. And it constantly references, but not overtly, often referencing other films, like you're saying. I mean, there's a bunch of shots in this that are exactly from Night of the Living Dead, where you just have the people spread out over the fields and the hills in the exact same way.
Yeah,
it's just a nice little visual gag almost that works for the film. And if you don't get it, it doesn't matter, because it also works for what's happening in the film.
You could actually watch this movie and then, you know, if you'd never seen Night of the Living Dead, watch that after and go, oh wait a minute,
yeah.
So it could work that way, but there's so many, like as you said, there's so many shots like that. There, I mean, there's references to Nightmare on Elm Street, and there's so many, near enough every scene. I'm sure there's ones that we didn't even pick up on as well. Yeah. You know, it is just one of those like rare things. It's just this fun, silly movie that's made well and acted well.
It's one we've in the back of my head we've been trying to shove into one of these topics, because it fits but doesn't quite fit so many things. Like, it's not really a zombie movie, and it's not really a body snatcher movie, but it kind of is, but it doesn't quite fit into those, you know. And then, but then it fits perfectly into, like, he is a disease, you know.
Yes,
he's a disease from outer space that's conscious, and and he plays it so well. And again, I want to say Michael Rooker is the star of the show, and he is great, but Nathan Fillion's really good. Elizabeth Banks is brilliant in this film as well. Fucking, oh, like, everybody's class.
Everyone's, even, you know, there's, would you call it, it's not really a cameo, but is it Jenny Fisher?
It's one of the Fishers. It's the one from The Office.
Yes,
she plays Pam in The American Office. Yeah. She's great. She's such a dumbass.
She's brilliant in this. And like, since she's been brought up, I just want to say you should watch Walk Hard if you haven't seen it, because she's brilliant in that.
She plays the analog for what do you call her, Carpenter.
I'm blanking at this point completely,
but there's a fucking one that's a film that has no right to be funny, and it is fucking hilarious.
John C.
Reilly's just fucking brilliant in that. Anyway, this, again, we're talking about other films, and that's usually something we do when it's a bad movie, but this is a fucking great movie. Everybody who is vaguely interested in science fiction or horror or monster movies at all should watch this film, because it's fucking wonderful. Okay, well, my insides are on the outsides, and my outsides are my insides. I'm still capable of speech, but I'm feeling a little under the weather, I guess I would say. Now, John, I need cured or dealt with or quarantined or whatnot. I don't know. I guess it's sort of going to be up to you, really, what action you decide to take with my infected, whatever. I was going to say my infected body, but I'm still alive, as far as I can tell. Well, that could be a symptom, couldn't it? Continuing to talk after one has died.
Yeah, I mean, in Last Days on Mars, you kind of get some kind of undead life or second life.
Indeed. So, spoilers for all these movies, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
And before we start talking about what is the most useful movie, John, which of these did you think was the best movie? And I know which one it is.
Slither.
Because it...
Slither. It was Slither.
Yes, again, of course it's Slither. Of course.
I think we even mentioned when we were talking about Slither how these other two dragged on.
Yeah.
And Slither was fun and enjoyable and...
Not a wasted moment in Slither.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I mean, it... It's hard to really compare them either. You know, these other two are trying something different, I suppose. But I don't know. They're just... I really just don't like Prometheus.
No, it's hard to like it.
Yeah.
I think it's hard to actually like it. It's It's interesting in as far as it's weird that so long after they tried to make a prequel to Alien.
Yeah.
So it's fascinating from a sort of a background lore sort of perspective, if you're the kind of person who likes to delve into that kind of stuff.
It's fascinating but, from a, how do they have better tech than in the sequel?
Yeah, they're way more advanced. It's got that same problem that, well, it's not the only problem that Star Wars Episode One: The Phantom Menace had, but one of the problems Star Wars Episode One: The Phantom Menace had was very glaringly, everything looks way more futuristic in The Phantom Menace than it did in original Star Wars.
Yep.
This has the exact same problem. Now, you could excuse it all away by saying, well,
they're better funded or something.
In Alien, they're basically space truckers.
Yeah.
And the fact that everything on their ship is very bare bones, industrial and practical makes a kind of sense in Alien.
Yeah.
So you could excuse it away like that. Now, everything else looks way more advanced with the spacesuits, though. Yeah. Like, the spacesuits in Alien are these big, bulky, like, nightmarish sort of cumbersome things that have like a big plume of moisture that comes out the top every time they breathe, and you know, they seem really like rough, whereas in this they're like skin tight and sleek, and the helmets are like form fitted and all this stuff, and you're like, yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense, there are riddles, but you know, that's fine. I'm not gonna get into nerdy picky things because you don't need to, because this film is I'm just going to straight up say it. It is boring.
Yeah.
It's a boring film. It's every now and then it's exciting. There is a moment of, there's a surgery moment in this movie that I will say still gives me the fucking heebie-jeebies when I see it.
Yeah.
Where she gets like the thing extracted out of her. And it's not even the surgery happening, which does give me a bit of a teeth drying, you know, sort of when I'm watching it.
Yeah.
But it's when it stitches her up and then she gets out of the pod and she's trying to run away, having freshly been stitched up from abdominal surgery, gives me real sort of sympathy pains.
Yeah.
So it's really effective. That bit's quite effective, but generally speaking, it's a boring, boring, boring film that happens to be beautiful, but there's very little substance. Even though it wants to have a lot of substance and is trying, but it trips over itself.
Yeah.
Trying to be philosophical at the same time as also trying to be...
It tries to do too much, I find. Yeah. Like, you know, the great thing about... I mentioned Star Trek, is that they were able to, like, focus on one thing for an episode. They actually have a whole... there's an episode, I think it's actually a two or three-parter, where they discover, you know, a lot of these races came from the same,
progenitor race.
Yeah, race, and it's them trying to find this out, and so, like, you know, even the ideas like that aren't new. Like, there's nothing, like, you can't, like, go, oh my god, this is so mind-blowing, like, this idea, like, it's all been there before.
This movie was, what, 2012?
Yeah.
And there were buttload of video games that had exactly the same plot that came out like 3 or 4 years before. The Mass Effect story is basically the progenitor race, the people who came before and built all this stuff. What happened to them? Fucking Halo went there as well before this movie came out. Assassin's Creed went there before this movie came out. It is not a new concept at all.
No.
It had been done to death by the time this came out. And yeah, like, it's not original. They tried to do something different with it, but I don't think they did.
Yeah. And that whole idea that, like, they were deciding to, like, wipe us out. They were decided just basically to create genocide. Yeah, it's never explained, and it's maybe one of those things, but it's not meant to be explained, but
no,
it's just rubbish.
Meant to be explained. Like, they literally, that is one of the things that at the end of the film they say they're going to find out, and then you watch Alien Covenant and that was a lie.
Yeah, because they didn't know where to go with it. Like, they didn't
I know this has probably been pointed out in a million angry internet videos by nerds everywhere, but why in the name of fuck did the star charts on Earth and all that stuff, all the stuff that led them there,
mm-hmm.
why did it lead them there? Because it seems like that place was nothing.
Yeah.
Like, they even say it's some backwater military installation. Why would all the maps on Earth lead there?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
And plus
there's no
that,
reason.
There was this whole idea that it was going to be, that was going to be the same planet they land on in Alien. Apparently it's different.
Yeah, they backpedaled on that. They changed the name because it's the one in Aliens, LV-426, and this one's LV something else.
Yeah.
It's got a different number designation, so it isn't the same planet.
Like,
and
even that stuff, like, they, you know, again, like, conceptually, this movie was all muddled from the start. It was like, will we make it that planet? Will we not? Will we have an alien in it? No. Like, but maybe, but...
Well, sort of, we will, a bit.
And that design's crap for that, like, proto-alien.
It looks like it's wearing a little gnome hat. It looks like it's a little gnome or an elf of some kind that's dressed up
rubbish.
As an alien and forgot to take its hat off.
It's so rubbish.
Yeah, it's kind of crappy. That's one of the bits where you look at the CG there and you go, that doesn't look very good, lads.
Yeah.
It's not great. So, yeah, that's... Yeah. It has a lot of points against it.
Yeah.
Again, the only real thing I can say about it is it does look really nice, but that's, again, really shallow.
Yeah.
In a way. It's very well made, but it's not very well written or paced. I mean, the pacing's fucking terrible. Last Days on Mars... I kind of like it because it's a stupid, again, very, weirdly, a very Star Trek concept. Well, I always think of, in Star Trek, the Borg as being space zombies.
Yeah. Well,
They're robot space zombies, but there's cyborg space zombies, which is cool, which is a fun concept. But this movie just, it doesn't really have, it's not terribly memorable. I kind of like it. I enjoyed watching it. And it is kind of tense and stuff at times, but it's got its own problems. It's choppy, it's wobbly, it feels a bit longer than it actually is, because there are a lot of periods of you're just like, why did that happen, and why are we waiting around, and we made a big deal about this thing running out of power, but then it ended up not being an issue.
Yeah.
Just because they decided, we need to go end the film now. But there's some stuff. I like that it's sometimes very brutal and nasty, and they don't necessarily go to explaining the motivations of the creatures, although it seems like they sort of do have something that they're after.
Yeah, they seem to want water sometimes, and then
sometimes.
Not. When it's convenient.
Yeah, indeed. Yes, when it's convenient, they want water, and when it's convenient, they want to do violence.
Yeah.
And that's it. But that's okay. I like Liev Schreiber in it. I think Liev Schreiber is actually very good in it. I like his character quite a bit, but again, it's not really enough to like. It's not very memorable.
No,
I think it's really easy to say Slither is the best one of these films.
Very easily.
Yeah, it's extremely easy because it is so. It's well written. It's incredibly well paced. It is funny. And it is scary, and it is sometimes quite sad.
Yeah.
And it's emotional. Like, I mean, the central sort of premise of this movie basically is that a virus comes to Earth that has destroyed all these other worlds.
Yeah.
And ruined everything and not given a shit. And then when it bonds with this guy who loves his wife.
Yep.
It all of a sudden is like, oh no. No, I've never, because it even says, like, it never felt love before, like, which is so cheesy to be like, I am an alien, teach me about love. But it's done with a deft hand, and it is actually quite touching at times.
It explains why it doesn't make Starla the womb creature automatic. Yeah. Like, it gives reason for certain things to happen, and it gives the creature a bit more of a character than it would otherwise have.
Yeah. It gives you more sympathy with Grant.
Yes.
You know, because it'd be really easy to paint him as some kind of stereotypical abusive husband, like, but he isn't.
Yeah.
You know, he's not a complete asshole. He's just a bit of an asshole.
Yeah.
You know, but he loves his wife. I think that's what I like about it, is he genuinely loves his wife.
Yeah.
Which is the whole point of the movie, you know, because the creature gets into him and then it's like, oh, love. It's like, it doesn't want to hurt her, but it wants to hurt everybody else.
Yeah.
It leads to some great stuff, especially towards the end, when you have all of the creatures, all of the people, as it were, that it's taken over, all talking at once.
Yes, because it's all like a hive mind at this point.
They're not
so much zombies, they're just kind of an extension to this...
This central brain or whatever, the thing that is a blend of the thing that came down, the virus as it were, and Grant.
Yeah.
Is like they've become one sort of amalgamation, much like Brundlefly in The Fly.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, where he is The Fly and Brundle together, and he's a different entity that shares traits of both.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they do that really well. They explore that really... They explore that in a way that isn't intrusive, that doesn't shove it in your face. It's just happening while the plot's happening and people are running around and running away from things and being attacked and having little mini adventures, you know? Here and there. This film's wonderful. I love it. It strikes a perfect balance between a horror and comedy.
Yeah.
It walks that line so fucking well. James Gunn is just a master of doing that. And I just wanted to make more horror-y kind of movies, you know?
Yeah.
Because Brightburn kind of did that. Brightburn wasn't really a comedy, though, but it was fascinating.
Yeah. I wasn't that fussed on Brightburn from what I remember of it, but... This movie's just fun from start to end. Likeable characters, likeable actors playing those characters.
Absolutely, Everybody in it's a fucking star. Like Elizabeth Banks is great. Nathan Fillion is great. I mean, Nathan Fillion's just doing that thing that you hire Nathan Fillion for.
Yeah.
Where he's like a smirking, sort of slightly cocky everyman kind of guy who's just immediately likable.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're like,
I will say, I don't really like Elizabeth Banks in most movies, but she's great in this. She is very good in this. I've seen interviews and all, she annoys the hell out of me. She's so fucking annoying. But that's for a different time, maybe. Maybe when we covered, I don't know. What else has been in? Power Rangers or Legos or something?
Power Rangers or Legos or something. Yeah. Yes, John. She's in both of those.
Yep.
Yeah. This film's a fucking masterpiece and is easily the best of these films. It's so fun.
Yeah.
It's so fun, and there's very little in it I can find to criticize.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a well-made, fun movie. Just go watch it.
Yeah.
If you like horror stuff, and it's creepy enough. There's a lot of body horror, horribleness in it that makes you go... Ugh.
Yeah, you're like, oh, look at them tentacles. You know what that reminds me of? Another great movie that I'm not going to say the name of, because Jesus. It's fucking wonderful. So, John, definitely this is the best film.
Yeah.
But which of these films teaches us the most about intergalactic viruses from the outer space and how to deal with them?
Well, let's see... Blow Them Up and Slither.
Yeah.
Prometheus is... What are they doing?
Things do get blown up in Prometheus.
Yeah. How do you deal... They don't really deal with it, do they?
A lot of people get fucked up by it and then they kill them. They kill the infected, I'd say. Really,
yeah. And then run away.
And then run away in stupid ways.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stupid ways in which people run away from things in Prometheus that don't make a lot of sense.
Yeah,
in a straight line away from something. That
it's like in Zoolander, I can't turn left.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she's incapable of turning left.
I'm not an omni turner.
And again, there's probably been multiple million view internet videos of people saying, why doesn't, when the ship is rolling towards her, why doesn't Charlize Theron turn left or right? Just running in a straight line, waiting for it to crush her. That we're not going to meditate on stupid things like that this film has a lot of.
Actually, there's a condition which exists.
Fuck those people.
And Last Days of Mars is basically kill everyone and
kill yourself.
And escape. Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't know, is it clear? Is he... He doesn't know if he's infected at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
But he's basically like, I'm going to hang out here for a bit. And you get back to me and tell me if you want me to kill myself. It seems to be destruction of the host.
yeah,
is a pretty consistent message. They're not really curing anything in these films.
No.
They're just destroying. Now,
it seems pretty bleak.
The only way out is for me to go outside. Maybe. Well,
you
I
know what? The way
suit.
This space station is, we could just sit here and I would say in about an hour, it's just going to...
the problem will solve itself. Yeah.
Like, kind of take the Last Days of Mars approach and just sit here until...
Yeah.
Well, I think he's waiting until it runs out of oxygen or something. For us, yeah. It's probably going to be like, you know, there's bits of this space station just like floating about, so...
They are, yeah. I mean, I think I just saw the steering wheel, which, by the way, why does the space station have a steering wheel?
I don't know.
Well, a steering wheel from a Volkswagen friggin' Polo just floated by, so I assume it used to be part of this craft.
Yeah.
At some point.
Maybe so we should have watched movies on... space stations that were falling apart instead.
Fixing faulty spaceships, perhaps. Yep. Who knows?
This might have been... We couldn't see the forest. We couldn't see the trees for the forest.
Indeed. Or the... Yes, whatever that expression is.
I can't remember. Yeah. Is that
couldn't
the right one?
Couldn't see the sand for the beach. I don't know. Well, anyway. So, we'll just sit here as... To quote a great film. To quote the last line in my favorite movie. Why don't we just... sit here for a while and see what happens.
Nice.
Bum bum. Bum bum. Bum bum. Okay, well, while we're doing that, I guess we may see you next week, depending on how this goes. We are on Twitter. We are at 7dayapocalypse. That is at @7dayapocalypse. You can email us at filmcast@thisweeksapocalypse.com. That is filmcast@thisweeksapocalypse.com. So, John, are you ready to hurry up and wait?
Yeah.
Or maybe we'll upload some stuff to YouTube while we're waiting, which we have a YouTube channel, so you can go there and listen as well. So we'll just sit here and we'll do our uploads. And if you're receiving this, we're probably already dead. But sure, you know, them's the bricks.
Yay!
Hey? Yay! And I guess I'll just leave you. I'll just leave you with this. Bum bum. Bum bum. Bum bum. Bum bum.